What do we do when the promises of God don't line up with our current reality? That's what we're talking about next.
Welcome to the Sifted Wheat Podcast with Leslie Lamb, a counselor by profession, a minister of truth, and a lover of people. This is a safe place where she sets a path for others to learn how to move through hard seasons with confidence and grace, encouraging your faith, empowering your choices, and challenging your perceptions through the Word, the wisdom from years of counseling others, and her own experience of being sifted. Here's Leslie.
Hi, friend. I'm so glad you're joining me today. I know that I said I was going to move on to a new series, but you know, I from the beginning have said that I was going to be honest to what I felt like I was being led to do, that I was going to be honest to how I felt like the Spirit was leading me. And because this podcast is about sifting seasons, I think that it would be inappropriate if I wasn't also honest when I was being sifted. I never want anyone to listen to this and think, well, yeah, she can say that now because her life is, you know, coming up roses, or like she talks about being sifted, but how do we know that she's actually been sifted? Or even if she says she's been sifted, maybe her sifting doesn't look like my sifting. Well, and that's true. My sifting probably doesn't look like your sifting because I'm a different person. And as people, we are super complex. But I have been sifted in multiple ways. I've been sifted through trauma. I've been sifted physically with illness. And I've been sifted in relationships. I've been sifted in my mental health. I have been sifted in my own idea of who I am and learning to re-identify with truth. I've been sifted financially, and even now I am being sifted. My family is being sifted. And I think if I show up and I talk about the goodness of God, I also want to talk about the goodness of God in the sifting. Because sometimes the promises of God don't line up with our current reality. Sometimes we have heard something from the Lord, or we've received something from the Lord, or we've believed something from the Lord, and whatever's happening in our life does not reflect those promises. For the last few years, I have had prophetic words, feel what you will about prophetic words, but I believe that there are true prophets in the world, and I do believe that they are a part of the body, and God gives them a gift to see into the future and to be a source of hope in times of struggle. And I know that in my life, I have received prophetic words that were preparing me for the next season, this season included. For the last couple of years, I have received just a word that there would be increase. There would be increase in finances, though I do not believe in God, nor do I follow God because of what he can give me. I want to be so clear on that. And so when I go to receive a prophetic word, I'm not looking for a prophetic word over my finances. But regardless, over several years, that word has been spoken to me. Now, I held it loosely with an open hand because I only want the will of God for my life. But if I were to take that word and I were to hold it tightly and I were to look at my circumstances today, I would question God. My faith would be tested, and presumably I might be so disappointed that I would walk away. Because what is happening in my life right now could be very much the opposite of that prophetic word. Last week, my husband and many others, I'm definitely by no means saying that woe is us or pity us. That is not my message. So please hear me clearly. But my husband and the entire crew that he works with were suddenly laid off. Now, that means that we have become dependent on one salary, which, thank God, we still have one salary. That in itself is a blessing. So I am 100% worshiping God in that and thanking him for it. But to go from 2 to 1 is very difficult. And to go from the main breadwinner to the secondary income is also very difficult. And so right now, in this very moment, we are living in a space where the promises of God are not lining up with our current reality. But as I think about that, there are things that are very important to me that I'm having to embrace right now. And I want to share them with you because you might be in that same space. And the first thing that I want us to remember is that we have to believe God over our circumstances. We have to believe God is still good. We have to believe that God still speaks truth. We can't automatically question who God is because what we believe he has said to us is not coming to pass. There's a really great quote from Jackie Hill Perry in her book, Holier Than Thou, and it says this: when there is a storm, believe God. When there is stillness, believe God. He is too holy to deceive, too holy to lead you anywhere but to the truth. He can be trusted with our cares because a holy God cannot be an apathetic God. That is so important for us to remember. God is not apathetic to our circumstances. He cannot be apathetic to our circumstances because by the very nature of who he is compassionate. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. So the first thing is we have to believe God over our circumstances. The second thing is we have to talk to God about our circumstances in order to gain his perspective. If I would have just received the news that we had lost employment and did not talk to God about it, I am telling you, I would be in a very stressed out, overwhelmed place. But the moment that we heard the news, the first thing that my husband and I did is we went to the Lord and we asked, Lord, what can we gain from this? What is your perspective about what is happening right now? And you know, the wonderful thing is that he flooded us with peace. Hosea 14:2 says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. It is time to plead your case. That idea of turning to the Lord with what we need is to remind us and to remind God of what he has promised in his word. Because God hearkens to the voice of his word. So when we got this news, I didn't go to him and say, hey, but God, you prophesied increase financially over me, and this is not an increase of finances, so you need to change that. You need to bring me an increase of finances. No, I didn't do that. Instead, I said, Lord, your word says that you take care of those that belong to you. Your word says that one of your names is Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. So regardless of what is happening in my life right now, regardless of what we see and don't see, I'm going to cling to your name. Again, believing God over my circumstances, speaking the word of God, who he is, reminding him, you are my provider. That not only reminds him, because I don't think he needs to be reminded, but it reminds me. And I know enough about the brain and thoughts and belief systems to know that when we speak the truth, when we remind ourselves, God is good and God is my provider, it moves outside of just being a concept into reigniting a belief system so that regardless of what I see right now, my belief is still attached to his provision. So we want to talk to God about our circumstances and we want to gain his perspective. And the second perspective that I believe that God gave both me and my husband, because the Holy Spirit speaks the same message, he's not the author of confusion, was that there is time. In our minds, we're thinking, okay, we have to fix this quick. You know, we've got to get a new job. We've got to jump on the first thing that's offered. We just have to move quickly because we don't know, can God truly provide? What God spoke to both of us in that was that this feels like a setback, but really it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity, one, to show that we truly are faithful to God and that we truly do believe him for the provision that he has promised us, but also we know that he has a plan. Even if we don't know what that plan is, we are trusting that God has a plan. And that even though this is a hardship, the outcome of it will be congruent with his goodness. One of my favorite scripture verses is, and I will not remember the address because I'm horrible about that, but I remember the word, and it says, "And I am confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And I've been speaking that over our circumstances. I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we might not know what's happening, but it's like I've said in other spaces that our obedience isn't about what we know. It's about what he knows. And so that leads me to the third thing, right? We can't lean on our own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, many of us probably memorized it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Lean not on your own understanding. What we know isn't what projects the outcome or the translation of the event. It's what he knows that he has promised. When Abraham was promised that his descendants would outnumber the stars in the skies, was it the ones that he could see or the ones that God created? When he said that his thoughts outnumber the sands on the shore, is it the ones that we can see or the ones that he created? Now, could God be speaking in hyperbole? 100%, absolutely. But as deep as we are willing to believe in his love for us, the vastness of his promises to us, the point is they are deeper still. What we see is so limited and what he sees is so expansive. So I can feel like God is going to do something good through all of this. And I do. I feel that. I believe that. I'm standing in that. But y'all get to discover with me what that goodness becomes, because I can guarantee that goodness surpasses my imagination at this point. And again, I'm not talking about financial goodness. I'm not saying God's going to make us millionaires or God's going to make, you know, all of our financial needs go away. I am not saying that. What I'm saying is that God's goodness far surpasses our financial need. So there's going to be something through this that's not just going to bless us or our family, but potentially could bless you and your families and potentially bless our community. That's exciting to me because that's the perspective of God. It's far more vast than what I can see. And the promises that he makes are dependent on what he can see. The fourth thing that we need to do is we have to focus on his character over our need. You know, I could look at all of the things that I need and I can get lost in the feeling that I have been cheated or that God has removed something for me or he's been unkind or he's punished. But that's not true because his character is not a punishing character. His character is kind, it is loving, it is good, regardless of what my need is. And over, the character of God is revealed as gracious and compassionate, rich in love, slow to anger, tender and merciful. That is the character of God. So regardless of what I need most is a God who is compassionate, rich in love, slow to anger, tender and merciful. And the good news is I have him. I just need to focus on him. You know, that word compassionate, the origin of that word helps us grasp the truth, the breadth and significance of compassion. In Latin, compati, or, you know, however you say that, I say compati, means suffer with. Compassion means someone else's heartbreak becomes your heartbreak. Another's suffering becomes your suffering. So when God says that he looks at us and has compassion on us, it's not a far-off objective emotion. It is a connected emotion. I see you. I feel your heartbreak. I recognize that it is difficult for you. I meet you in it. I'm going with you through this. That is amazing to me. We need to know that when we are suffering, we are not suffering alone, that we have a God who has compassion on us. You know, a lot of times we can think that God is watching us from a distance, like a TV screen, right? And when we're making mistakes or when things are going badly, he's shaking his head and he's saying, you know, you should know better. You know, it's like watching the horror movie, which I don't do, but my kids do, my family does, and I'll pray for them. But watching a horror movie and you know the villain is in the room, the villain has the knife, and someone is just sitting on the couch and they are unaware, you're about to get slashed. But that's not how God looks at us. He's not looking at us like, ooh, he's with us. He's in it with us. He's directing us by his Holy Spirit. Turn your head, look, run to the closet, run out the door, whatever you have to do, there's a way out. His word even says that. There is no temptation known to us. There is no trial known to us that God has not provided a way out or a way through. So he's with us. He's waiting with us. He's watching over his work until it is completed. He's not looking at us thinking, oh my gosh, you should have done that differently, or you're so stupid. You should have thought that this was going to happen. You should have already planned for this. He's in it with us. He realizes that we've been blindsided, but he was planning the redemption all along. I don't know what the redemption is. I don't know what the restoration is. I don't know what the outcome is, but I do know that God watches with compassion. So wherever you are in your suffering, God is watching over you. And he's not just watching over you. He's watching over the plans that he has for you to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. When those words were spoken in Jeremiah, Israel was under siege. It was in bondage. They were oppressed. They were in the trial season. And Jeremiah was calling on the word of God to remind them, this is the good plan that he has for us. You know, he was known as the weeping prophet. So he saw these things and he felt deeply for the people. Do you think that that was because Jeremiah was just weak or sensitive or an empath? It was because the Holy Spirit was grieving through Jeremiah for the plight of the people, because he has compassion on us, because he suffers with us, and he has a plan. What we believe about God will determine what we do and think, and even what we become while we wait. What I believe about God in this season is going to determine what I do. Do I believe that God is my provider? In a season where I love to be generous, where I love to give gifts to people, where I love to show up for the needy and the oppressed, do I believe that God is provider? Then I keep doing that. I keep choosing to be generous. I keep choosing to hold my finances with an open hand and not a closed hand. I don't hoard that which I have, but I steward it with the belief that God is my provider. It also determines what I think. I'm not thinking, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen this time of year. I'm not thinking what will happen if my husband doesn't get a job. I'm not thinking, what will we do if we can't pay our bills in a couple of months? I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, God, even if I don't see it, you have it. God, I know that you've gone before me. God, I'm seeing the evidence of where you've already provided to make this season better for us. So it determines what I think, and ultimately it will determine what I become. Will I become bitter because I didn't expect this to happen? Will I become resentful because God had promised me something that I didn't see come to pass, or I haven't yet seen come to pass? Will I become faithless because what I had faith for didn't come to fruition? Will I become stronger in my faith? Will I become more devoted to the one who provides? Will I become more intentional about my relationship with God? Will I become more grateful for financial blessing? Will I become more grateful for the things that are not financial? Will I recognize the goodness of God in the people around me more than what I want to do for them in this season? What I believe about God will determine who we become while we wait. So I want to encourage you. What promises are you believing God to perform in your life? We all have something that we're holding on to, something that we are believing God for, and if we're honest, even hold doubt that He can do. But can we do these four things? Can we trust and believe in God and His character over our circumstances? Let's talk to Him about it. Let's be honest with what we don't know and go to the one who knows all. Let's be honest with the plans that we didn't have to trust Him for the plans that He does. Let's be honest that we don't know everything and that I can't understand why things happen the way that they do, but God does, and that God has a plan. And in the midst of it all, I can trust Him that His character is good. And in His very character, He supplies all that we need. But I can't do that if I don't love God. I can't do that if I don't believe His word. I can't do that if I haven't first spent time with Him to allow Him to reveal the truth of who He is, to reveal the truth of what He declares, to reveal the truth of what He has for me. If I haven't been watching for Him all along, it's going to be a lot harder to see Him now. So if you're not being sifted, if you are just kind of taking for granted that you have what you need and God has provided it for you, but you can do it on your own, that you might lean into self-sufficiency because you don't have anything that you're believing God for or holding on to faith for, I want to encourage you, take your eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off of the things that you have and put your eyes solely on Him. Focus on Him. Because when we keep our eyes on Him, that's when we're assured that He has His eyes on us. So wherever you're being sifted, the answer is still the same: the goodness of God.